Good morning.
Good morning.
And God's love and His peace and His joy be to Jesus Christ our Lord. I appreciate that. Thank you. One of the things after not being here for Christmas last year, I made a resolution this year, no matter what happens, I want to be here for Christmas. Amazing Grace. And I missed Thanksgiving 2 years in a row, missed the Pi Fellowship. I also missed the closing of Daniel, not you Daniel, but the prophet Daniel. And I feel like I didn't get closure. Because Daniel was so awesome, right? The whole book was just amazing. And it was quite a revelation to be reminded of all the things about Daniel. And if we just go back for my sake, just a little bit back to Daniel, because I need closure. What did you learn about Daniel? What were some things about Daniel? Faithful. Never. Yes, never. Even lions coming out to attack you didn't faze him, right? No? Or a fiery furnace for his three friends. It's for his best friends. Oh, great. He puts a good word in for them and they get thrown in the fiery furnace, right? Did that faze them? No problem. He's no problem to them. Lions, no problem. That's like that song we used to sing in that one VBS about the lions. They can't tear apart your soul. Oh, no. Oh, no. They can't tear apart your soul. Remember that song? But it's amazing how deep Daniel's faith was. Not just his faith about trusting in God, but also being open to hear God's voice so clearly with revelations, remember? And the dreams. Not just getting the interpretation of a dream, but the actual dream itself that somebody else had, namely King Nebuchadnezzar. You've got to have an awful, not awful, awesome, close relationship with God that would strike terror in the hearts of kings who thought it was awful, because how does this guy know this stuff, right? So Daniel was amazing. So much so, and here's the point I want to make that ties into today. So much so, amazing faith, that it carried on for centuries. People talk about this man Daniel from one generation after the other. And all those that were so faithful when they were in Babylon left a legacy, which leaves a question for us. What kind of legacy do we leave? When we leave this earth, whenever that might be, will people still talk not about us, but about our Lord and about our faith? What kind of mark, what kind of imprint do we leave on people? See, I didn't talk about this last night, so I'm glad you came back. Threw this little extra, since so many of you were here last night, so throw a little bit extra in. But the legacy of Daniel was so amazing that it lasted for years and years and years, to the point now we come to Matthew chapter 2, and there's a legacy of Daniel, I believe, in this text. But anyway, I was talking earlier that I decided I don't want to miss Christmas. And there's another thing I don't like after last year, getting my luggage lost. I don't want to ever travel over Christmas again and have to go drive 60 miles one way to get my luggage and then 60 miles back another way fighting freezing rain. I haven't driven in freezing rain for decades. And so that was no fun traveling over Christmas. And it was also no fun driving back to Illinois. When I came back from my mom's funeral, it was quite an adventure. I drove straight through. I know, I was not smart. But here's the deal, okay? I said, okay, I start off the morning in Mount Pulaski, Illinois, and I'm leaving, and I got everything packed in my little Corolla, which is no more. I had that little car crammed with stuff that I wanted to bring back. And I'm glad I did that. So anyway, I've got all this stuff, and I leave Mount Pulaski, and it's about a 2.5-hour drive to St. Louis. I'm getting past on the other side of St. Louis, so I've been driving almost 3 hours. And then I go, I wonder where my laptop is. I've got a car full of stuff. I go, oh, I'm sure it's under this box or under that suitcase, I think. And I thought, self, you better check. You better not go all the way back to Arizona. This is my company laptop that has all my confidential stuff. My company, I would be in big trouble. I go, oh, I'm sure it's here. Because I checked the house 3-4 times. I checked everything, right? I thought, okay, I'm going to go to the gas station right by Six Flags outside of St. Louis. I go to the top of the hill, freezing cold. Oh, this is nothing compared to what it was in Missouri. And I go through everything. No laptop. I sat down there, I felt like I was going to cry. I go, oh, no, this can't be. I go, God, I can't, what am I going to do? And You know, like when you're an athlete, when I was in sports, sometimes you'd be called upon yourself to dig deeper for something. So I got angry, and I said, okay, I'm going to show you self. I'm going to drive all the way back to Mount Pulaski, get my laptop, and drive all the way back. And I just got mad at myself. I said, I'm going to do it. Lord, you're going to help me. So I drove back home, all the way back to Mount Pulaski, another 3 hours, back to Mount Pulaski. So I've been on the road 6 hours, right? And nothing. I'm back to where I started now. I'm back to Mount Pulaski. Except I saw the skyline of St. Louis when it was dark and light. So I saw it twice in one day. It was kind of nice both ways. But anyway, I went to Mount Pulaski, checked the house, and I said, I checked this house. I think my laptop's there. Sure enough, it wasn't anywhere in the house. I thought it was three places it could be. Here. It's nowhere to be seen. I go into the garage, and there's my black bag and my laptop. It was sitting in a dark shadow place there. So when I left, like 4 o'clock in the morning, you couldn't see it there. So there it was. So I got, okay, let's start all over, act like none of this happened. 6 hours later, instead of 4 o'clock in the morning, it's now 10 o'clock in the morning. I go, I'm just going to drive through. So off I went. And I just had this dogged determination, I'm just going to do this. And I'm, at least I wasn't on a camel like the wise men. They traveled about 700 miles on a camel. I traveled 1,500 miles in a little Corolla, so that's a little better than a camel. But anyway, I'm going and I'm going, and then it's late at night. That night, I'm in Texas, and it's freezing cold, but I'm looking out at a rest area, and I thought, well, maybe I can just rest here, and I found out that it's not against the law in Texas to spend the night at a rest stop. Then I hear on the news, just then, oh, there have been murders at the rest stops. Do not spend any time at a rest area except do your business and leave. And I'm looking out the stars, and it was beautiful. I remember still seeing all the stars and just every star, just like you could reach out and touch them. But then I'm thinking, I don't want to get murdered. You know, that's not a good idea. So I thought, I guess I'll keep going. I keep going. I'm in New Mexico. And there's construction, and the roads are going like this with no lines. And so I'm trying to follow trucks and trying to figure out if this truck looks like he's going to stay on the road for a while. And I can't follow somebody who's too fast or too slow, but just right. So I'm following the truck. He leaves, and then there's this car. Okay, I'll just follow this car. And we're going like this. And by this time, I am so out of it. I'm like a zombie. And in fact, I looked at my arms, and I felt like looked like a skeleton. I felt like I was a skeleton just behind the wheel. And not smart. I know it wasn't smart. I know. And I'm in this construction, and it's going here and going there, and I'm following this car. Like, come on, don't slow up, don't speed up, just stay there. And then he decides to go off and let me lead. I go, I don't want to be the leader. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sleepy. I've never been on this road before. The lights were kind of dim in my Corolla. I go, please, sir, get back on the road. He did, and he wanted me to lead. So here I am leading. Going, finally made it home. I don't know how, thanks to God's grace. So that was quite a trip. Well, these wise men had quite a trip, too. They were willing to do whatever it took for them to see Jesus. So in our text for today, actually before our text, there were some prophecies about the star and about some people that would come from a long way that would follow that star to see Jesus. In Numbers it says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near, but not here. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. And in Isaiah 9, it says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. That's Isaiah 9. In Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Behold, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness over the people. But the Lord rises above upon you. And his glory appears over you. His glory appears over you, it says. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. Herds of camels will cover your land. So all these were prophecies about what we see here in today's text in Matthew. Now, Matthew is very interesting. He doesn't talk much about the birth of Jesus. He talks about before Jesus was born and after he was born. And instead of having details about Jesus' birth, he decides to have this. And this is the only place in the New Testament he decides to talk about these wise men from probably Babylon, from Daniel's line, who were taught about the Jewish faith, right? So they were taught about Judah. They were taught about the Jews. They were taught about a coming Savior. They were taught about the coming light to come that would be with you, even in a lion's den, even in a fiery furnace, to someone who would walk right in the fire with you, who was like a son of God, who is the Son of God. So can you imagine all these stories are being told and repeated in the history in Babylon about this coming king, this coming Messiah, who could get you out of a lot of trouble, who could be dependable, who could be reliable, and could be trusted. So here, and not only that, but these wise men were very smart, and they were very observant about people, but also about geography, and also about the sky and the stars. In those days, they didn't have a lot of city lights. If you leave the city lights, like I did, and I'm in the middle of nowhere in Texas, and there's no big cities, and I'm thinking not only of murderers lurking in the shadows, but I'm trying to also focus on the beautiful stars. This was amazing, amazing. I'll never forget that. But in those days, that's all they would do at night. They didn't have TV, didn't have video games. So they just go out and look at the stars, and maybe they would be very observant of anything different in the sky. And these wise men who knew a lot about astronomy, theology, geography, about animals, about biology, all kinds of subjects, very, very smart, mostly about God, they look up and they go, well, look at that. What is this? And they saw that star in the east. What is that? And people still today are trying to figure out, what was that star? Now, some have thought it was a shooting star, but that doesn't fit with the text at all. No shooting star. Now, comet? No, not a comet. And so there are two theories that are out still today. One is, and I had some people in my classes, my doctor classes, have this experience, is that, these people that I've talked to had a revelation of God in the sky. Just that they just saw, and they only. They're looking in the sky, and they saw a revelation of Jesus, of God in the sky that led them to Christ. That's how they came to be a Christian, was through that supernatural revelation that only they saw in the sky. That could be one explanation for the star that the wise men saw, a supernatural revelation. Another is by a lawyer who started studying all this. They have software out now that goes to all the way back to the days of Jesus and can point out where the planets were, where the stars were, how it all aligned. And I can't get into all the details, but it is a fascinating movie, The Star of Bethlehem, where it talks about all these things, how all the different planets and the stars came together, and with a very bright light, with Jupiter, the king planet, Regulus, the stars, it talks about the king and the king planet, and Virgo and the mother coming together, and I can't get into all the details, but it's fascinating, isn't it, how it all comes together to point out that Jesus is being born, and that later he's going to die. So it's supernatural either way, but the wise men saw something that prompted them to take this long trip. And again, trips can be, hating preparing for trips. But can you imagine getting on a camel, like I said, and going that far? They had some dedication. These wise men from way back learned from Daniel, if you're going to do something for God, you do it all the way. It's all or nothing. It's not a little bit, oh, let's just, if we feel like it, we'll go to Bethlehem. Well, if we feel like it, we'll take this 700-mile journey. You had to be all in, right? And these men were all in. So here's how this starts. This is after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. During the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Why do we come to this place? We had fun last night. We had gifts. Some of us got extra gifts and did extra bartering to get gifts we wanted, right? Right, Nadine? And we had a lot of fun last night. The food was fantastic. The gift giving was a lot of fun. And I even got my popcorn back. The pastor was so gracious, he gave me my popcorn. We had a lot of fun. But this isn't some social club. That's not the only reason, right? The main reason we come together. Yes, sir? Oh, perfect. Thank you. Yes, we are hungry for God, right? These wise men said, you know, whatever it takes, we're going to go all the way across the country. We have come to worship him. Why do we come? The song we used to sing, now is the time to worship. Now is the time, right? to come before our God. Now is the time. If there's ever a time for us to worship with this craziness in our world today, it's now, right? And this time of the year, Jesus is the reason for the season. And so we fall down and we worship. That's why these wise men came, was to worship Him. No cost was too great to come to God's people. You know, sometimes it's that people say, well, you know, church is so far away. Tell that to Paula and Bruce and see where you get. Oh, church is too far. How far is it? How many miles do you travel? Each way. So, there. Yeah, that's right. Oh, I still can't believe that. Oh, but anyway, I'm going to get back to that. But yeah, the wise men came to worship. And what I love is in a jail, when we come to the jail and there are people very hungry for God, they're desperate for God, or they think, all I want is God. That's all I want for Christmas, is Jesus, and to worship Him in His presence. There's nothing in His presence. When you're in that atmosphere, it's amazing. It's electrifying. It's supernatural. It just crackles with the energy of the true God, Emmanuel, God with us, who is Jesus. When He's there in the room, He's there in the bed, He's there at the hospice, He's in the hospital, He's in Mount Pulaski, He's here in Phoenix, He's all over the place, helping people in Africa. How can Jesus be everywhere? Because He's God. So if you ever feel alone, guess what? You're never alone. Because He could be everywhere at the same time with the same presence, the same joy, the same love that guided the wise men. He guides us today. He guides us to worship Him. And there's no thing we'd ever do more than worship God, right? We'll be doing that forever in eternity and not get bored. It will never get bored because we'll be hungry for God. There's that hunger for God. Interesting that when the wise men came and they asked, they said, well, He's going to be born in Bethlehem, because they quoted the scripture from Micah 5, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel. This is a town of, it's a small little town about 5 or 6 miles outside of Jerusalem. Nobody thought of Bethlehem until Jesus was born. Interesting, we talk about being hungry for God. Jesus was born in a town that means literally house of bread. That Jesus, the living bread of God that feeds our souls, comes from a little town called House of Bread. I don't think that's a coincidence. So anyway, they told the wise men, this is where He's going to be born. And then it says that Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report it to me so that I too may come and worship him. Well, was he sincere? Obviously not. Is everybody sincere about God? Is everybody sincere about the Christ for Christmas, about the reason for the season? No. Some people will even say, oh, Pastor, I'll be in church. You can count on me. Oh, yeah, this year I'm coming to church. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll see. We'll be glad to have you, yes. Well, I want to sign up for this, and I want to sign up for that. Okay, one thing at a time here. We'll see. Because the parable of the sower talks about the seed being planted all over the place. Some of it pops up real quick, like these flowers just come, boom, there it pops up, and then withers down and dies. So we got to have sustaining, reliable faith like Daniel and the three men the fiery furnace had that were talked about for generations. That's the kind we want. True worship, not like Herod. Oh, yeah, I want to come too and worship Him. There are people who come to church, some churches, for all kinds of reasons, and many are not the right one. For a big church, big choir, don't have those here, sparkling personality pastors that give perfect sermons. There may be one here, yeah. And they're so humble, too. Oh, that ugly ram's yellow. That's kind of bright, you know. Go back to the blue and white ones. Roman Gabriel. Anyway, King Herod said, oh, yeah, I want to come and worship. No, he didn't. But notice this. After they had heard the king, the wise men, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Notice, not baby. This is about a year or two after Jesus was born. He was in a house, sorry. So these little wise men over here really should be over here somewhere because they're not there when He was born. But they're on their way, though, riding those camels, and they will come eventually to a house and be followed, guided by a star and that leads them right to that house just where Jesus was. And notice the reaction, totally different from King Herod. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And actually, in the Greek, it means they rejoiced with an exceedingly great, beyond measure joy. So it says joy, three different words, talking about how much joy these wise men had. They were so psyched, they were so amped about seeing Jesus, they were just totally blown away. And they were so excited, and notice what they did. Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They were so blown away to see this baby, this toddler. They fell at the toddler's feet and worshipped that toddler. Why would they worship a little toddler? Yes. Exactly. They knew this is the Savior of the world. And He is God in the flesh. Very good. When we talk about incarnation, Jesus is God in the flesh. He's man. He's God at the same time. He is Emmanuel. He is, which means God with us. He is Jesus, which means Savior. We've got the greatest gift of all time in that manger and now in this house. And these wise men who traveled on those and aching backs and were sore and tired after going 700 miles said the trip was finally over. When I finally hit Phoenix after all that travel, I was so happy to be back here. And it was so warm. It was like 72 degrees. I'm going, oh, this is great. I was so happy to be back home. Really was. I was very, very happy to be back. And the traveling was over. So then I went out and bought a car the next 2 days after that. And did some more driving in my new car. But anyway, I was glad to be home and glad to be back in this church too, for sure. Amen. There's nothing like the fellowship and the love we have here. But the wise men fell down and worshiped Jesus. And they were not embarrassed. Oh, this doesn't look becoming of wise men to be, you know, this is a little tight here. This is worship a little toddler? Come on. Well, they knew supernatural revelation with the Holy Spirit and all the years they were taught from Daniel and the three men in the fiery furnace, right, about who this Jesus was. And now they had a chance to be witnesses. They weren't Jewish people, to be picked out to be someone who would be a witness and to see Jesus and to worship Him. So they worshiped Him. They didn't stop there. It says then they opened up their gifts or treasures, and what did they do? Give them little token parting gifts? No. Nope. They presented them with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Well, gold, it wasn't just cheap, fake jewelry. It was real gold, very expensive, that they had taken with them all the way, almost camels, all the way from back out east. And they had frankincense, and frankincense does smell heavenly. Have you ever smelled it? It is an amazing smell. Interesting, my son Jeremy, about the same time that my mom had passed away, this is about the exact time, which was about 4 o'clock in the morning our time, on a Saturday, my son said he felt this heavenly fragrance filled his bedroom. And then later he found out it was frankincense, because he bought some frankincense. That's the smell, Dad, I felt. It filled the room. And I felt the love of Jesus. And I didn't know why. And then he got a call from me about an hour later, about 5 a.m., that his grandma had passed away. It's like Jesus had a little gift for my son, Jeremy, which is pretty cool, to say the least. But frankincense has this beautiful aroma, and is used in worship, and frankincense is used many times as incense. And then myrrh was used to prepare people for burial, like spices. So you've got gifts given to a baby that are for somebody who died. So this baby was born to die for the sins of the world. But is also a God who is to be worshipped with the frankincense, and is also a king who is given gifts of gold. He's a king. He's a savior. He's the one who's going to die for the sins of the world, and He's God in that little baby. Right there. That's Christmas, right? That is what Christmas is all about. And we still have that Jesus to adore. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Christ our Savior. Christ the King, that we lift up His praises to a darkened, messed up world, right? And we offer our gifts to Him as He opens our hearts and He leads us. So the wise men were led by that star and by God. Who leads us in our lives? Who will lead us in 2018? Amen. We can have all the goals or no goals. We can have plans or no plans. But who's the king? Who's your king? Who's your God? Jesus. Only Jesus, right? And we pray that in this new year, God will lead us to exciting adventures. As He led the wise men with a star, He will lead us. But it didn't stop there, because it says, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So they had a dream. And in this dream, once again, these wise men are really connected with God. They're well connected, right? They didn't have a problem with losing connectivity with God. Because they get this dream and they know what it means and they say, oh, we got to go a different route. What do you mean? We can't change our GPS now. These camels are all set to go a certain way. You can't change camels. What do you mean go in a different direction? Sometimes we hate change. I hate change a lot. Oof, don't like it. But God says go, or he says slow, or he says no. We have to listen to what he says, right? Because he always knows best. He has a good idea. He knows how it all is going to fit together better than we do. And then we look back, oh, God, you're pretty smart after all. Oh, thanks. I'm glad you noticed. You know, but God knows his business and our business. But the wise men were astute enough to follow and to listen to the Lord even in a dream. Some of us have a dream. Some have had visions. Some have had revelations. Some have not. Some have seen angels. Some have not. Right? Right, Sandy? You've seen angels, right? Others have. Others feel God's presence. There's different ways that God reveals himself. It was a few weeks ago that I was really kind of just worried about my mom before she died and what's going to happen to my daughter back here and what's just all this kind of stuff was taking over my thoughts and my energy and my emotions. And I had this dream, but it's not anything I heard. It's nothing I saw. It was just what I felt. I felt the love of God fill my bedroom, and it was like the Lord himself was embracing me. And it was about 3:30 in the morning. And when I woke up, I felt this intense love, and that's all. I didn't see anything, didn't hear anything, but I was changed just by an encounter in the middle of the night with God. He came and visited me in the middle of my sleep. Only God can do that, right? So the thing is that we've got to stay close to this God and to this Savior who gave up everything for us so that we might have all the treasures of heaven and the treasures of God's presence, Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, as the theme talks about here, the lesson for this is wise up, because wise people still seek Jesus, right? And that's the wisdom we want. And we don't know how many wise men. We picture three, we three kings of Orient are. First of all, they weren't kings. We don't know if there are three gifts given. We have no idea how many there were. And that's why the wise men, that's called the 12th day of Christmas, January 6th. And I've told this before, my folks, staunch Lutherans, said we do not put away our Christmas tree until after January 6th, the 12th day of Christmas. Okay, all right, yes, sir. And so I feel guilty for years after that, because on New Year's Day I took it down. Oh, no, I think I'm committing a sin. But it's called the Gentiles' Christmas, when Jesus was revealed to the wise men, to the Gentiles, not just to the Jews. Yeah. So saving people still today, and we pray that that other people's hearts and minds will be open to this great light in Jesus this week. Who knows who may come to know Jesus this week, right? So in the middle of all the crabby people you meet and encounter, spread some light in this dark world, amen? And to that end, may we pray to God now. Amen. Yeah.